of good or God, that then brings us to an awareness of that which is here all the time. And if we are not having conviction for the presence of good, we are having a conviction for the absence of good, which is actually more common in, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So notice that one of those frees us and one of those imprisons us. Because as we think, we're creating an active energy that moves in its own current of possibility. So everything we think of is fueled, is fueling every other cell in our body and impacting the atmosphere around us. So that if you're, you know how that is. Sometimes you just get in the presence of somebody and like they just don't feel good. And you just don't want to hang around a long time. You look forward to getting out of that space. Well, it's because we can pick up when somebody's struggling or having a difficult time in their own life. So I like this idea of presence and the way it is about talking and speaking and imagining our way right into our freedom, into our spiritual liberation. Which brings us to question number two. Does spiritual liberation involve communication with God in such a way that we have to earn it or we have to qualify for it in some way? No. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to qualify for it. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to prove ourselves in any way. It is a God-given gift. And what happens is that as we begin to recognize it, again, focusing on spiritual matters, puts us in a really inviting atmosphere to have a deeper experience of that communion that we seem to somehow in our humanity long for. We sense there's more. So whether you are studying new thought or you don't even believe in God, it doesn't matter. None of that matters. Everyone has equal opportunity because that gift of freedom is inborn. It is already within us. And I think the beauty of the spiritual path is that we wake up to ways in which we can practice or move through our life making decisions that give us a greater experience of freedom. So life is always, we have this way life is always corresponding exactly to what we're thinking, what we're speaking, and what images we're creating in our mind with our own imagination. And as we align to that greater divine imagination, everything shifts in a favor that supports our life in a positive way. So life is always, it's good news, bad news, because life is always reflecting back to us our own personal reality. It's the exact vibration that we have initiated that we will then see in front of us. But that gives us great freedom in as much as we remember choice, that we have choice. So when we practice the presence, and when we're aware that right where we are, there's a power that's greater than we are, and we can align to it, we can use it, we can have that essence of that perfection in the terms of the vibration or the energetic of that kind of life, when we practice that presence, we are not practicing absence. So all communication is about that type for me. It's all about spiritual liberation on one level or another. It doesn't even matter. So let's talk about human communication for a little minute. What do you notice you most talk about? You know, Emma says that what we describe reflects what we believe. So how do you answer when people say, how are you doing today? What's the first thing that comes? What first thing that you think of when that happens? See, all communication, especially this area of focus where we're talking about humankind communicating, talking, speaking, sharing experiences, all communication is about understanding. And in fact, the very word communication is defined as conveying meaning. Right? One dictionary definition said, communication is a two-way process of mutual understanding. It is where we exchange information, ideas, and feelings in order to create and share meaning. And by the way, the Latin root of the word communication is to share. So our thinking brain is constantly working, I think I mentioned this last week, constantly working to understand stuff. Brené Brown, in her wonderful book, Rising Strong, Brené Brown has this beautiful way, she helps us understand these new studies that are coming out and telling us how the brain works. And she says quite simply that what they're saying is that the brain is always trying to minimize uncertainty. The brain is always looking for ways to make life look more certain, right? The brain is always looking for contrast. There's good guys and there's bad guys. Ooh, which side did you sit in? So the brain just wants to keep us safe, right? It's just something we inherit in part of our humanity, our part of being a human. And yet, what's interesting to me is that if the brain wants to minimize uncertainty, what I realize is that everything about the spiritual path is the opposite of that. Everything about the spiritual path is about deepening in our faith of those things that aren't so certain, right? It's about the ways in which we, how does Pema Chodron say it, being comfortable with uncertainty, being comfortable with the ambiguities in life, because there is that element of the divine that is constant and absolutely certain all the time. So as we practice presencing, as we get better at observing and remembering, being awake and aware of seeing spirit exactly where we are, then again, we move into that place of having a greater experience of freedom. You know, it's interesting because Brené Brown said, here's all the studies that the brain, here's what we know from the brain work. But I was thinking, because I'm teaching, yet again, Emma Curtis Hopkins, that's why I keep quoting her, I guess. And Emma said, it's this gorgeous quote I had never noticed, but speaking the same thing 150 years before Brené Brown said it, Emma said, every man, every woman, every child, every stick, every stone, every snail, because of our physicality, every man, woman, child, sticks, stones, and snail feels that their good is somewhere else. Their good is absent somehow. And when I read that this time, I didn't get it because this is the second time through, back to back, 8 weeks. I'm about 3 or 4 weeks into the next 8 weeks. I didn't even notice that statement before. But you know what that tells me is that it's okay. It's in the way that Brené Brown explains that we understand that it's just human nature to not be a good observer on every moment. And yet, as we practice focusing on spiritual matters and get more attuned to the presence, everything changes. So George Washington Carver said this, I think this is a lovely quote, if you love enough, anything will talk to you. If you love enough, anything will talk to you. And many of you know that because you can hold a stone in your hand and you can feel the vibrations of the stones. You can talk to your plants, right? You can have an experience of connecting to your plants and you can see that they thrive when you love them. We can sit in the woods. Many of us can go into a forest and feel like the trees are talking to us. So if you love enough, anything can talk with you. So we just want to pay attention to that. It's such a beautiful way of being aware of the presence of God and to know that so much more is possible when we align to all of that. I'm also reading a book called Presence. And it's not a new book. It's one I've had a while. And It's just so perfect. It's so compliments all the stuff I said last week about all the generations and how we're changing. And it so appears that we're moving in this gorgeous direction in spite of how at the same time it appears everything is falling apart. And that's because that's how things happen. Something has to break apart before something new can be created. So all of that excites me a great deal. But Otto Scharmer, who is one of the authors of the book Presence, says that we should speak freshly. Isn't that an interesting statement? I love these words. He says it takes courage to speak freshly, and it may not be possible if we don't practice seeing freshly. Oh, well, now that's interesting. That one gets me. So I have something for us to do this morning. I had this idea that you should have an experience of what it means to see freshly. So we all come here for different reasons. We come here, some people are here this morning because they've been discouraged and they're desiring to be uplifted. Some people are here because they have so much joy, they know they had to bring it out and share it, you know, to bring that joy to spiritual community. Some people are here for the cake. You know, or the Bradfords, and and the Bradfords are here for cake, it looks like. Rod raised his hand. It doesn't matter why we're here. That's the beauty of it to me. That is the absolute beauty of, I love New Thought for that reason. We do not need to try and get you to sign on the dotted line for anything. We just love this message, and we just know that it's good for the world. So you came in this sanctuary this morning, and you plopped yourself down in a chair somewhere. Now, many of you, I notice, are plopped pretty close to where you usually plop. You're sitting where you like to sit. You know where you're comfortable. And actually, there's some of you do not usually sit in the places where you are sitting. Some of you are trying something new. So you have, what I want to say is, we all have choice, and you have chosen where you're sitting right now. Is that true? Of course that's true. Yes, it is. So now, except for those of you in the very back row, and by the way, we always know why Reverend Cheryl is here. Hear an amen? Amen. Yeah, that's what I thought. So those of you in the back row, you're the only really blessed ones here because nobody's going to be looking at the back of your head. But everybody else has got somebody to look at. That means those of you in the front row are stuck with me. You can only look at me through this experiment. But it's going to work. It's going to be fine. So first of all, I want you to notice that you already noticed who's in front of you, right? Decide who that is. Pick right now in your mind, don't tell anybody, but pick that person that you would say is most in front of you and look at the back of their head right now. Are you all feeling self-conscious because somebody might be staring at the back of your head? I'd want to straighten my hair right away if there was anybody behind me. All right, so you're looking at the back of their head and we want to see freshly. So I want you to be looking at that head right now and see if you can see something you didn't notice before I asked you to notice something new. So go ahead. Check out that head. Look at something about that person's head or the way they're sitting in the chair, anything at all that's something you didn't notice before I asked. Got something? Everybody good? Now, let's broaden our vision. And I want you to look around this room. And for those of you who are here every week, this may be a little more challenging if you're just visiting for the first time. Everything will look new. But I want you to notice something in this room that you did not notice before I asked the question. So go ahead, take a moment now to find something you've never noticed before. You are seeing freshly. And now, we're going to take it one step farther. I want you to set an intention with me that we are now going to look around the room and we are going to find one thing that we know is an absolute reflection of God's love. So do that now. Look around the room and allow your eyes to land on something that is a reflection of God's love. And notice how that feels. When we feast our eyes on something that we know to be the love of God, something changes inside of us. And so, that's how we can practice seeing freshly. Wouldn't it be lovely if every time you left your front door and walked out, you intended to see something freshly? You see, sometimes when we're going through difficult experiences in our lives, it's hard to see freshly because we can see or we think we know where this is going to go and we're not happy about it. But when we open ourselves to a higher vision, when we invite God to show us another way of looking, we are seeing freshly. And in God, there is always love, there is always joy, there is always beauty, there is always peace and harmony and perfect order. We will see things differently when we see freshly. And that brings us to our third point. Is there life on other planets? I don't know why. I just couldn't think of anything else. And certainly, I don't rule it out. It just doesn't highly interest me. But I do know that sometimes when you travel and you end up somewhere where English isn't the number one language, and that's your primary language. I know there are those of you who English is not your primary language. But when you land somewhere where you don't understand the native tongue, what happens? We get pretty resourceful in the way we communicate, in the way we reach out to communicate. So I wanted to tell you this story. Many years ago, my sister had a foreign exchange student from Japan. She was probably about 15 years old, and she didn't speak a word of English, and that was the point. It was one of those short-term exchange your students and have that beautiful experience of living in another culture. So we went over to meet her, and she was delightful, and she was trying so hard, and my sister had a dictionary, and she had her dictionary, and so she's trying to talk to my... Where is my husband? Oh, you said it in a different place, too. She was trying to talk to Hugh. You remember this, honey? Let me tell the story. It'll come back to you when I tell the story. So Kimiko is says to Hugh something like, have you been to Japan? And Hugh says, no, we haven't been to Japan, but it looks very beautiful. And so they're having a little talk, and then Hugh says, but I do know about Japan. And she looks, and he said, yes, I know of Japan because of Godzilla. And so she goes, Godzilla? And Hugh said, yes, Godzilla. And he says, you know, lizard. So right away, my sister's got her dictionary open, and she's finding lizard, and she shows it to Kimiko, and she says, lizard. And Hugh goes, big lizard. She goes, and she says it in Japanese. She goes, big lizard? And he goes, oh, I know, I got this. He gets up out of his chair, and he goes, watch this. Tokyo. Godzilla! Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And she instantly connected. She got it. Oh, Godzilla! We laughed till we cried. And in that moment of laughter is the communion. Right? Think about it. What happens when we laugh together? There's this great breath exchange that we do. And we all are called together in that gorgeous way of having an experience of connection. We're conveying meaning beyond words, but we have joined at the heart. We have joined in this beautiful, soulful way. So I want us to remember that we have this beautiful power to communicate well beyond words. And in fact, we do notice that often the words seem to get in the way, don't they? Sometimes we're trying to express something that we feel really strongly about, and the words just seem to take us further from the message we're trying to convey. Each week here in the West Valley Center, we talk about spiritual strategies that can strengthen our sort of our inner authority. Because the more that we understand that inner authority, the less we will be impacted by things in the outer world. We will be choosy about how we connect with life and our judgments that we carry and the people that we desire to be with, and we will see them differently because we are learning to see freshly, to speak freshly, to see and experience life anew. And so I wanted to close this morning with a fabulous quote I found by Stephen Covey. And this is just the beginning of our exploration into the spiritual idea of communication in connected to spiritual living. So I leave you with this quote. If you were going to die soon and you had only one phone call that you could make, who would you call and what would you say? And why are you waiting? All right, take a breath. Let's just take a deep breath on that one. Nice, deep, cleansing breath. Well, what we will do now is to anchor these words in prayer. So just get comfortable where you're seated. We just allow all these ideas, the laughter, the exercise and seeing freshly, we just allow all of that to settle as we turn within. We recognize the indwelling presence. I feel and sense that presence, that power right here in this room. It is a power that is greater than we are. It is right here, right now. In this very moment, we sense that presence. And I feel the love of God within me. It is that activity of life. It is the movement of spirit itself. It is that infinite intelligence that is found in every cell of our physical body. It is that same wisdom that allows a bird to soar. It is that spontaneity of a child that is filled with joy and laughs and is pleased. It is our total emancipation. It is our spiritual liberation. It is the fullness of freedom itself. For in God, all possibilities reside. Every potential imagined and unimagined, every possibility waiting to be brought and called into form. I feel the love of God, and I know it is that goodness. It is the fullness of the presence. It is our awareness in this moment that we can never be separated from that one. And so this day, as we look at that potential for pure communion with Spirit itself, as we recognize the holiness of our divine encounters with each other, we understand that communion is a longing of our soul. And so I claim for each person here the fullness of that oneness, the recognition and awareness of the truth of our being. That we are fully and freely given all things we need to experience our good. And so wherever there is any appearance that there is an absence of that good, I simply know that right there is the activity of life that I know to be God. A God that is for us, a universe that supports us in every way. That it is spirit that is our source. It is nothing from the outside. It is the indwelling presence that assures this great and mighty truth. It is our faith in that which is unseen. And we step in a new way to see freshly, to speak freshly, to imagine divine possibilities. For we are individualized expressions of God. We are here for the delight of God. And so I say thank you, God, thank you, life, thank you, infinite spirit, for all of these blessings and for all the blessings that are yet to come. And I simply release these words into that divine law that always responds affirmatively. I let it be, and together we say, and so it is. Amen.